AgriTalk is brought to you by Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with. Learn more at simplotgrowersolutions.com. Okay, the last I checked, even lumber futures were lower. Lumber. So when lumber isn't trading higher, I'd say a downside correction in most other commodities is justified, right? Well, unless you're cattle. If you're cattle, you keep the counter move going and post some big gains on a day like today.
Live from Mono Directional Monday via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we talk with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. Right after the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. And in the final segment, Gary Artak from ArtakAdvisory.com. Wow. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
Man, that sounds like a good show, dude.
Should be a good one. Should be really good. Stay tuned, everyone.
Yeah. No doubt.
We'll get past this first part, and then it's going to be really good.
Yeah, whatever. Welcome back, buddy.
Happy to be here. So pleased to be here. Yes. Good. Thank you.
Good. Well, we missed you. I've taken, somewhere in the range of 200, 250 phone calls here over the last half hour or so, with people suggesting that maybe we find a way to keep you off the air.
Ooh.
If we're going to see markets like this.
Yeah. I can't see who these people are. I can say I miss them terribly. And maybe that's what's gotten into the markets, you know, just sort of a reset. Let's, you know, get back to love, lift us up where we were when I left. And then none of this works, does it? Oh,
no, not really. Not really. Oh.
What's,
Davis.
I mean, I guess,
it was a
you
tough
know, here's
day.
Some consolation, you know, yeah. I mean, we didn't go limit down in anything, I think.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
How's
that? I'll take that. You bet. I'll take that. Tough day in the commodity world, no doubt. Yes. But hey, you know, after the run that we saw this last week, a little bit of a setback in here should not be a surprise to anybody. So
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. Did you really? You knew that I was going to say it shouldn't be a surprise.
I knew somebody was going to say, give us the, well, you know, I mean, after you, the upside, downside. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad
that I could come through for you. I'm glad to know that our relationship has become so predictable.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's perfect.
Pretty soon you're going
to
be.
Say that to my dad just yesterday, actually.
Yeah. Pretty soon you're going to be finishing
reading
my
news.
Sentences for me.
Oh, I went straight to reading the news. See, I was using the immediacy of the moment. Wheat futures dragged the grain markets to the downside and closed sharply lower, but were still within the boundaries of last week's trade. Export inspections of wheat in the week ended May 6 totaled nearly 546,000 metric tons. Wheat loadings are showing surprising consistency, and with some feed yards looking to replace corn with wheat in feed rations, some wheat traders are looking for increased total demand in Wednesday's S&D update. July hard red winter wheat 33¼ cents lower today, 703½. July soft red down 31¼, 730½. September spring wheat 44½ cents lower, 758¼. Yikes.
And that is betting on a forecast that is calling for some more activity in the Northern Plains, but they missed a lot of it over the weekend, Davis. I mean, this is a play on expected rainfall rather than what has actually happened.
Well, corn futures were sharply lower, but the December contract remains in the top half of last week's trading range. Still, the high range open, low range close in the new crop contract certainly suggests the market has started a downside correction heading into Wednesday's reports. USDA this morning announced the sale of just over 1 million metric tons of corn to China for delivery in the new crop marketing year. USDA also announced China canceled the purchase of 280,000 metric tons of corn that was scheduled to be delivered in the current marketing year. Export inspections of corn in the week ended May 6 of 1.7 million metric tons were ahead of the pace needed to get to USDA's export estimate. July corn futures 20.5 cents lower, 7.11¾. September corn dropped 25¾, 6.29 even. December corn closed at 6.09¼, down 27¼ cents. Chip.
All that export news, I think that's where we will start in the conversation with Brian coming up here in just a little bit.
Soybean export inspections totaled nearly 237,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. Old crop soybean futures were just slightly lower, while new crop beans saw a steeper downside correction. Today's trade featured unwinding of bear spreads and position evening ahead of Wednesday's reports from USDA. Many traders pointed to a more active weather pattern in the second half of May as a source of pressure on grains and oilseeds. Despite today's price pressure, November beans are easily in the top half of last week's price range. July bean futures 2¼ cents lower, 15.87½. August beans dipped 8¾ cents to 15.28¾. November bean futures closed at 14.14¼, down 19¼ cents.
Yeah, down 19 cents, and it really didn't do much on the charts, Davis. It really didn't. It's still a positive chart outlook in that market.
July cotton 119 points lower, 88.47. Dece down 79 points, 86.10. Livestocks, sharp losses in corn encouraged short covering and fresh buying in feeder cattle futures, and sharp gains in feeders pulled live cattle futures higher as well. June live cattle $2.20 higher, 118.22½. October up $1.10, 124.55. August feeders surged 442.5, 148.70. And finally, June lean hogs closed lower for a second consecutive session, but respected support at the top of the upside price gap. June lean hogs 75 cents lower, 112.10. August down 92.5, 108.10. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, fabulous. How about you?
Not doing too bad. You know, it's true. We had some big losses in corn and soybeans, well, and wheat. Looks a little tougher for wheat on the charts, but corn and soybeans, it barely registers as a big day down.
Oh, I know. I was looking at the charts myself, and I was like, what sell-off? I
mean, yeah.
It would have been the testament to just how strong this market's been, really.
Right.
A big direction like this, and it doesn't do a damn thing.
Yep. So what do you think, how's this market going to set us up going into Wednesday's reports?
Well, obviously the spec is a little worried about what the reports can say. Plus there was a little weather out there, as you guys were alluding to here, but the spec, to me, is worried about USDA not increasing the demand and leaving the ending stocks higher than what the trade has been estimating. And they're probably a little worried about what next year's ideas could bring as well. USDA tends to be fairly conservative when it comes to demand, especially Chinese demand. And even though we got a lot of corn sales on the books, for example, to China, USDA may choose to ignore that in the short term.
Yeah. I think we've got a real opportunity to find out just how aggressive this USDA and the World Ag Outlook Board is going to be with that Brazilian corn crop estimate, don't we, Jack?
Yeah, I keep hearing about a world of hurt. I heard as much as 30 million tons lost down there right now, which would be incredible if it's true. But even AgRural, that 30 million tons came from a very good source of mine. Even AgRural is calling the crop 20 million tons lower, though.
Right.
And so there's a lot of problems down there.
That's right. Thanks, Jack. That's Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Brian Hoops up next.
Farming in the 21st century requires data-driven technology and product decisions that are rooted in on-the-ground insights. At Simplot Grower Solutions, we're in your fields and by your side to help you grow yields and profits. Simplot is a pioneer and innovator in plant nutrition and agronomic science. Our local experts offer grounded advice to help you get the most out of every acre. Go to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com to see how we can be a one-stop resource. Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with.
The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Some shoes on my two bare feet.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you could join us today. Davis Michelson is back. We
Sir,
love having Davis
yes.
back. Yeah.
Did she say, I wish I had some shoes on my poo bear feet?
No, my two bear feet.
Oh, two bear feet. I thought she said poo bear feet, and I thought, is that a thing?
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Okay. No. That helps. That helps.
You need to listen a little closer.
Huh?
All right. Well, let's get into the conversation right now with Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, I am doing great. Good to talk with you guys once again.
Good, 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 man. So, wow, we get a breakdown in the markets like we had today. Was the spread unwinding and some positioning going into Wednesday's reports and everything? It felt like a fairly active day, but it then you look at the chart and you just kind of like, it was just another kind of a mild setback in here.
It seemed like just another Monday, didn't it? Just another day, 25, 30 cent range day. But, the interesting thing in the corn, I thought this last correction that we had was about a 3-day correction, started on April 27th. And if you look at the high to low, it took place over 2 days and was about 58 cents or almost 10% of the value of the commodity at that time of December corn. So we've not even come close to the last correction. We could see a little bit more of a correction. If we do that same 58 cents or 59 cents, that puts us in the 580 range for a correction. And if you look at 10% of the total value, we started at 638 last Friday, or that's where we ended. If you look at something like that, you're probably looking at close to a 63, almost 64 cent correction. So we may still have a ways to go to correct this thing ahead of Wednesday's report. So I'm not just convinced that this is just a one day down and then we start screaming right back higher. But at least by Wednesday's report that comes out, it's expected to be friendly from a different number of different fronts. You know, you have South American production where there's some crop problems, likely to lower the world ending stocks, lower South American production, particularly Brazil. U.S. ending stocks, I think, get tighter as far as old crop numbers go. And the new crop, it's a crapshoot. It's you kind of go off of what the USDA said is at their outlook for them. But we're using trend line yields and stocks are going to be very tight. And we're going to be very, very sensitive to rains and lack of rains throughout the entire growing season.
Yep, absolutely. As far as this downside correction goes, don't take the wrong impression when I say this, but don't you hope that it's more than a one day down in here, Brian? I mean, really give those that are looking for an opportunity to buy, give them a chance, let them in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know what you're saying. And, this is a small correction right now. Usually you have bigger corrections, more than just one day. Bull markets seem to always let you in the market if you want to get into it.
Yep.
And so like the last correction that we had, I mentioned April 27th occurred until about the 28th, and we kind of consolidated and then we started to take off and rally. So I wouldn't be surprised just one down day today. It's going to be bleed into Tuesday, maybe even Wednesday morning before we carve out that bottom and then start to see prices, hopefully move back to the plus side at least one more try.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Last week, China buys 1.36 million ton of new crop corn. Today, 1.02 million ton of new crop corn. They're rolling some smaller tonnages. Today was, 280,000, something like that, that they rolled from old crop into the new crop. Does anything that China's doing in the corn market right now surprise you, or was this fairly well telegraphed to the market?
Well, they have a lot of crop that is unshipped. I mean, they've been aggressive buyers this marketing year, and they're holding on to quite a bit of crop that still needs to be shipped out. And so your marketing year ends August 31st, so you don't have a tremendous amount of time for them to ship all this product out that they're still holding on to. I think we can do that, and I don't know that they have to make a lot more adjustments on rolling crop forward. But I think it's certainly not a surprise that maybe they weren't going to take all of it by the end of August, that they're going to push some of this into the next marketing year. And that could be as quickly as, early part of September. They don't have to wait until the fall. They, this marking year begins September 1, and that's when they will start to take some of this product. So it's just more of a logistics move on their part. Rather than trying to cram it all into one marketing year, they're spreading it out, and it won't change the balance sheets significantly, but it does ease the burden a little bit off of that old crop stocks that they've canceled a couple cargoes last week and a couple more this week.
Yeah. Yeah. On the new crop stuff, Brian, does it surprise you that they are as aggressive as they are this early in the process? Or is this just a function of, okay, we know we're going to need the corn, and now we don't know if we're going to be able to get what we were going to get out of Brazil?
Yeah, it definitely a function that Brazil has some crop issues, some major issues. AgRural was out today talking about lowering their estimate down to around 95 and a half million tons from April. That's a drop of 8 million tons just from April alone. That's their total crop output, but their secondary crop is going to be down about 8 million tons overall. So it's a sharp fall here in the second crop because of drought concerns. So not only does China need to be booking these purchases from the U.S. because of conditions in Brazil being so adverse, but they also need to make sure that in case prices in the U.S. skyrocket higher, if we get some sort of a drought or something else to really take prices a lot higher, that they have enough coverage at least on the books here for the near term from the United States.
Okay. Okay. Is that one of the headline numbers on Wednesday is the South American crop updates?
Yeah, I think it's pretty widely known that they have some issues right now. USDA is probably going to be fairly slow in lowering their crop estimates. I wouldn't look for them to come down to where like AgRural or someone else is, but I do think they fall under 100 million tons. I look, you know, for their overall crop numbers, I think they're probably in the 98 to 99, but maybe not down into that 95, 96 area. They'll make some adjustments later on. That's certainly one thing to look at. You know, we haven't had any new crop balance sheets update this year. That'll be something else I think everybody will be watching very closely. We expect them to use the acreage numbers that came out in March and trend line yields. But if they don't, if they threw something else out there, that's going to be a surprise to the trade. So,
sure,
you know, you never know what the government's going to give us. But that's what everyone's expecting is trend line yields plus the planning intentions report numbers for acreage.
Right, right. And then we got their first unofficial look at usage back in February in the Outlook conference. That's where they might make some adjustments, play with the numbers a little bit. And, hey, you know, if they have to put in a higher national average on-farm cash price for corn, soybeans, wheat, cotton, whatever, than what they had back in February to pull that number down, to me, that would make sense, wouldn't it, Brian?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what they'll probably end up doing. It would make a lot of sense that they would, and I think they'll end up doing that this year. You know, they've been very, very conservative on their demand numbers this year, especially for soybeans. They haven't made hardly any changes as far as our soybean balance sheets go. They've been slow on the corn export balance sheets as well. We have evidence that we've already exported through the end of April enough to reach the USDA forecast. They're going to be forced to increase the corn exports this year, but the question will be how much. They may do another token purchase and tighten the balance sheets up, but I think that's obviously what everybody's expected already.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I want to talk risk management strategies when we come back in the next segment, but let's take a little break from the grains right now. Talk to me about cattle. Do you like anything that's happening in cattle trade right now?
Yeah, you look at the cattle market here, we're starting to get a little bit of resurgence in the feeder cattle, especially since corn has broken a little bit. We're starting to see feeder cattle come off their lows. You know, it was a market that since early April, about April 8th or so, had just kind of been in a straight free fall, and we're starting to see a little reprieve. And so there's producers that are looking to make some sales or hedge some of those deferred fall calves. This may give us some opportunity here while the corn market is taking a breather. But I do like the live cattle from the standpoint that some of these deferred contracts, you go out into October, December, they seem to be a little bit undervalued where we think the cash markets could be by this fall. We're pulling cattle ahead. They're being sold at lighter weights. And with this marking hole that we're seemingly creating, that should give us a lot of opportunities in that third, fourth quarters of this year to see much stronger cash markets. And I think we could see the cattle market benefit from that. So that's an area, that's a number that we're really looking at. It does seem like we've got a little larger supplies right now that are going to cap the near-term rallies, but longer-term, October and December, could be undervalued.
Yeah, it would be neat. It would be neat to see some of some leverage roll back over to the feed yards with the profits that the Packers have got right now. Goodness gracious, it would make a lot of sense. Okay, we're talking to Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions, risk management, and it's a weather market. So what do we expect in a weather market? You might already know that Poet produces 2 billion gallons of bioethanol and 5 million tons of high-protein Dakota Gold animal feed each year. But did you also know that Poet uses the same process to produce a suite of other bioproducts, like purified alcohol for cosmetics and sanitizing products, renewable CO2, and oil for renewable diesel? The market for green products made from crops harvested right here in the Midwest is growing at an unprecedented rate, and that means even more reliable domestic demand for your grain. Farmers aren't just feeding and fueling the world, they are growing sustainable solutions that protect the environment and preserve our way of life for future generations. Poet believes in the power of agriculture to meet the world's most pressing needs. Learn more at poet.com/products. It's time for Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. Bipartisan carbon tax bill would replace federal fuel taxes. Boy, that's an interesting take on what we're looking at in the revenue side of things. Friction between food suppliers and retailers are rising as strains over costs and distribution grow. As a matter of fact, some of the retailers are issuing fines now to the suppliers out there. Yellen warns debt measures may be exhausted soon. Demand for Chinese wheat auctions continues to wane. Just 3.6% of the total offered was auctioned at the latest offerings. Traders closely monitoring box beef and cash cattle markets to start the week, and cash hogs retreat in last week's trade. Give Pro Farmer a try. Try ProFarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip. Got Davis with me, and we're having a conversation with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. Before we get back to Brian, let's go ahead and recap how the market's closed.
Well, Chip, July, hard red winter wheat, 33 1/4 cents lower today, 703 1/2. September spring wheat, down 44 1/2, 758 1/4. July corn futures, 20 1/2 cents lower, 711 3/4. December corn closed at 609 1/4, down 27 1/4 cents. July soybean futures, 2 1/4 cents lower, 1587 1/2. November bean futures closed at 14.14 1/4, down 19 1/4. July cotton, 119 points lower, 88.47. June live cattle, $2.20 higher, 118.22 1/2. August feeders, look out, 4.42 1/2 higher, 148.70. June lean hogs, 75 cents lower, 112.10. That's your quick market recap. Back to you, big guy.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Brian Hoops is the president of Midwest Market Solutions. He's our guest today. Hey, Brian, what are the funds doing in corn?
Well, they're sitting there holding massive long positions. They have seemingly built these up and really not added to them since even October. But I have the funds futures only, over 536,000 contracts. That's a record, but they've probably been sitting at this place since the first of the year and really haven't added significantly to that. You know, maybe 25, thousand contracts is all, which is very, very little when you talk about a 5 month window that they've been buying.
Yeah. You know, as the market was going up, everybody was looking for the fund ownership in corn to go up, 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 up. And it really didn't, did it?
Yeah, that's kind of the surprising thing here is that they haven't just been building this massive position. You know, some of it's been a little bit of commercial end user buying, but there's been some large specs as well as small specs getting into the business here buying. And so it's not just the large funds. We talk about the funds and give them a lot of credit, a lot of hate on a daily basis. But overall, they have really not piled on like we thought they would have.
Yeah. Is those smaller funds, is that a new generation of investors coming in here? Is it brand new kind of money?
You know, it's certainly possible that it is, especially with the moves that we are seeing that they are piling in here. And, you know, they may not be around forever, but there's new money that has been flowing into these commodities because of, you know, not only inflation, but also lower U.S. dollar index and the fact that we have a drought in many parts of the United States. And now we have one in parts of Brazil. First, it was Argentina. Now it's starting to be in Brazil where the drought's developing. So there's that. And it's increasing the speculative community, whether it's funds or large traders, small traders. A lot of the spec community is really honing in on this move in the corn market, especially, but it's also spilling over into the wheat and soybeans.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Brian, a conversation I had last week, it turned into kind of a realization for me that we're not really trading a mid-May style of market. It really feels more like that 4th of July market, doesn't it? Because of the volatility and because of how much focus there is on weather. And because of all of that, you almost need to throw the calendar away. You almost need to throw the development of the corn crop away and really focus on price action here. Is that oversimplifying it, or does time of the year and time of the crop, do those things still matter?
Yeah, to me, they still matter a lot. You know, and today's break was brought on by fundamentals, not a technical or momentum or anything like that. So I think you still have to go back to these fundamentals. And one thing you always have to do is you have to trade the news. The news going into the weekend was, you know, a little bit of rain across parts of Iowa, Illinois, parts of Montana, maybe to see a quarter inch. But the news Sunday was much more rain falling than what was anticipated. Good rains, you know, clients told me in Montana, they got good inch rains. Iowa got better than expected rains. Illinois better than expected. All these areas combined to get much better than expected rains is kind of the catalyst for this move lower here. I still think you have to pay attention to these fundamentals. The weather conditions, the timing of the year is going to be critical. We go into the month of June, a month from now, we're going to start talking about pollinating the corn crop. And that's something you really, really have to pay attention to. We have next acreage report at the end of June, but a month from now, we'll be looking at, you know, how our crop is going to pollinate across the I states. And if it's going to be a hot and dry stretch, if it's going to be cooler and wetter, like it has been so far the month of May, you know, that's what the market's really going to focus on. So I think as we get into June, you know, that's a possibility when you could put in your highs for this year. You don't think it's going to be early in the season. You're going to have the weather issues all sorted out. But another month from now, 5 weeks, we could be really close to kind of solving some of those questions.
Okay. Okay. Assuming the timing of the crop and everything still matters, how do you manage risk in here? What tools do you like? And you know what? Let's go part A and part B on this question. What do you want to do to manage risk in front of the supply and demand report that we get on Wednesday? And what might be some tools, strategies that you want to use during the summer months in a weather market?
Yeah, I mean, those are good topics to talk about. A lot of producers are questioning that right now. You know, they want to hedge. They want to lock in these price levels. They want to lock things in because these are very profitable levels. But boy, they're just scared to get ran over. You know, you thought maybe 575 was a good place to hedge. You got ran over by 70 cents in the corn market, and that's no fun either. So there's questions how to manage that risk effectively. I always turn to options market as a way to manage your risk. You know, it's like buying your crop insurance. You're managing risk for hail. You're managing risk for whatever may happen to your crop, but you manage that risk through insurance, and that's what you can do with these price levels. I think with this report coming up, you can go with some very cheap option plays. You can use the weekly options that expire on Friday to if you want to just play this report. But if you want to look longer term, some clients we've talked with don't realize that there's short dated options that you want to make sales that you can buy that flow off of the new crop corn contract. We have such a spread between July and December this year that it doesn't really make sense to own that July contract if you're selling new crop sales as a way to protect it. But you can buy short dated calls options that go off of the July contract, go off the September, off of that expiration date, but they rely on the December futures for their price discovery. And you can do that with corn, soybeans, wheat. It's a really great tool to use if you're looking at maybe some re-ownership strategies, if you are making those cash sales, or if you're not making sales and you just want to provide a price floor, you can lock in that $6 level with these options, whether you use short-dated or regular options. It gives you a lot of flexibility through the rest of the growing season.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason to use these short-dated options, number one, the big reason in a situation like this is you're not paying for the time. And if you're not paying for the time, then the premium on that option should be cheaper, right?
Yeah, in theory, it should be cheaper. And if you're using the short-dated ones, you can choose July, you can choose September, but you still be off of what the December futures contract how that trades, because there could be a big difference between how new crop and old crop trade this year. We've seen that so far this growing season, and we may see it extend into the next 2 months.
Yep. Okay. I'm not calling a top. I'm not doing anything by stretch like that by a stretch there, Brian, but I do want to start getting people ready for what this market might look like and how it might trade on the other side of the top. What does it look like to you?
Yeah, I agree. This is probably not a top yet in the market. We probably have some more upside work to do. But once we get there, it's probably going to be very volatile. You're going to see moves like this magnified even further.
Yeah.
We put a lot of premium into the market. And you look at like Minneapolis wheat, we put a lot of premium into this market on dry conditions in North Dakota. And 1 inch rain drops us 44 cents. And this rain didn't even include a lot of North Dakota, where it's in the drought monitor, where it's extremely, extremely dry. So these markets are going to be very volatile. And I think the volatility increases into the summer as our growing season develops. And once the top is in, it's going to be they always say staircase up and the elevator down. It's going to be that magnified this year.
You know, One important thing to remember here is that when the high is put in this market, if you're going to wait until then to get a risk management strategy started, it's probably too late, isn't it?
Yeah, it probably will be. It's hard to sell in a down market. You know, if you thought the top was today, it's hard to sell corn 27 cents down. But if you're waiting for that top market, top price in a day where we turn lower, today looks like a day where maybe the market peaked. We don't really know. You won't know until a much later date, but it's going to be very volatile.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. All right, buddy. Hey, it's good to talk with you again, Brian. Really appreciate you, and have fun with Wednesday's reports.
We will. Good to talk with you guys. You're the best.
All right. Thank you, Brian. That is Brian Hoops. He is the president of Midwest Market Solutions. When we come back, it's going to be time to take a look at the charts. We had big time closes on Friday. What does that do to carry our tax price outlook from here? We'll find out next on AgriTalk.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
And fresh back from
deep, deep inside the hills of Western South Dakota.
Awesome. Davis Michelson. Glad to have you back, brother.
Rousing geologic and survival success.
You know, I got to ask. I mean, you know the show on the Discovery Channel that I'm going to reference, right? I mean, you didn't have to do this naked, did you?
Well, I didn't have to. But, you know, hashtag goals. I mean, you know, I did have a geology 4-H project when I was a kid. And I thought, what can I do to just step it up a notch, you know? What element was missing from that presentation? And I'm sure there's satellite imagery somewhere.
Crazy. Let's get off of this topic and bring in Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory. I'm sorry that you had to be a part of that, Carrie.
Not a problem. I'm entertained.
Not a problem. All right. Carrie Artak, of course, is with Artak Advisory. That's A-R-T-A-C. Just go to artakadvisory.com. Look for the AgriTalk link. You can see a video of what we're about to talk about, get into a little bit more detail, and, of course, you can sign up for a two-week free trial there. Let's get to it. I think you wanted to start with July beans today, right, Carrie?
Yeah, I did. I wanted to just sort of, you know, I've had a long-term objective up in the 1650s now for some months. 1655 and three quarter is a long-term target. And in fact, now it's kind of a near-term target as well, because last week we rallied and settled above like an intermediate channel top on the weekly chart that this week is at 1561 half. So far, the low as of today is 75 and a quarter for the week. It's an early part of the week. 1561 half can contain weekly selling pressures, and we should now, over the next two or three weeks, reach that 1655 and three quarter target where the broader soybean market can place an annual high. Now, as we approach 1655 and three quarter, I will be mentioning that if we close above it at the end of any week, we're in yet another phase of 3 to 5 months bullish continuation up into the 1980s. So I just wanted to put that out there because it could potentially, you know, happen this week if we closed above 1655 and three quarter. Until then, it is our annual resistance that can absorb buying through the rest of the year. Downside, if we close the week back below 1561 half, the market can fall back to 1418 and three quarter over the next few weeks. That is rising weekly. I have that actually illustrated in the video. It's a rising channel bottom that can absorb selling through summer. And in fact, holding above 1418 and three quarter, bullish momentum remains intact long term. That 1655 and three quarter target expected over the next 3 to 5 months. And not until or unless we close below 1418 and three quarter at the end of any week do I see a good annual high has been made. And we should then fall all the way back into the 1130s over the following months. On to July wheat, a big picture July wheat, 642 even, long-term support presently well below the market, able to contain annual selling pressures, or in other words, through the rest of the year, and above which 850 half remains a big picture objective. Now, last week, we settled above a meaningful resistance area at 747 and a quarter that I was saying should set off follow-through buying over the next 3 to 5 weeks to that 850 half area. But today, the wheat came falling back and is now closed below 747 and a quarter. So, you know, the week is still young. Wheat has been doing this a lot the last few weeks, really high volatility, two-sided trade. And so if at the end of the week it can close back above 747 and a quarter, I'm still holding on to the 850 half, 3 to 5 week objective where we can place an annual high. But if we close the week Friday back below 747 and a quarter, that 642 even long-term support level I mentioned is then in reach over the next 3 to 5 weeks where, as I say, we can bottom out through the rest of the year. So 747 and a quarter, meaningful pivot point into June. And we need to close above it at the end of this week to keep that 850 half level in reach near term. Finally, June Lean Hogs. Just wanted to mention that, you know, I think I'd mentioned this in about a month ago, but we are still in the midst of a long-term buy signal on the broader lean hog market, 100.32, well below the market. We're presently around 112 and a quarter, but I just want to mention that it is an area, 100.32, that can contain selling through the rest of the year and above which maintain a 3 to 5 month long-term target at 134.95, which is well above the market. I'd want to mention that on the way up, we've got 117.30 this week that can contain buying into June and is the point that we need to settle above 117.30 to set off, you know, a more aggressive vertical move, that 134.95 area then in reach as a summer high where we can tap out through the rest of the year. So bullish above 100.32 long term, and secondarily if we can close this week above 117.30. And that's all I've got for this week's stuff.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. And just on a really short term basis, that June lean hog contract today did respect support at the top of the May 3 upside price gap, which is at the May 3rd low of 110.87.5. So tomorrow's going to be a test for that market, I think, Kerry, and it will be interesting to see how it does perform in here. So, okay, buddy.
I would agree. Thanks, Chip. You have a great day.
You too. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook May 16th through the 20th has above normal temperatures across most of the country, Davis.
That sounds great.
Yeah, doesn't it? Just normal to below normal on the West Coast and normal to below normal in the Southeast, but above normal right in the middle of the country and above normal precipitation in the middle of the country as well. The only part of the Corn Belt that's really missing out on it would be Indiana and Ohio. So we need to watch that. The 8 to 14 day, this is for May 18th through the 24th. Even more above normal temperatures across the country. And above normal precip expected basically in the same areas. The Corn Belt, and it's from... It's from the Canadian border all the way down to all the way down to Texas is where we are expecting to see that above normal precip. So hopefully,
a little heat wouldn't hurt right now. I got to be honest, a little heat.
That's right.
Wouldn't hurt.
A little bit of moisture. Second half of May would probably do both corn and soybeans a world of good. Okay, hey, thank you so much for listening today. That's from me, from Davis, and from producer Big Apple Joe Stackler. Tomorrow morning, we are focused on energy. Phil Flynn, Price Futures, Emily Score, Growth Energy, and Jordan Fife from BioUrge. And tomorrow afternoon, Rich Nelson from Allendale, right here on AgriTalk.